103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
Ooh, 103.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show with Brian Green, and not with Peter Donegan or Katrina Redmond, who I say hello to them, and they're having a well-deserved break. It's just me this week. And it's Mental Health Week this week, all this week, and this is World Mental Health Day, the 10th of October 2014. So it'll be a theme in today's programme, but we will be touching on things horticultural and gardening. On today's programme, we're catching up with Paddy C. Courtney, actor, writer, and all-round good guy. We spoke to him on The Sod Show before. He has an allotment at Malahide Allotments, and we'll be catching up and seeing what progress he's been making. Also, we'll be speaking with Karina Buckley, weather presenter at RTE, and we'll be talking about weather and its effect on your mental health. We all know that there are links between the weather and your mental health, and getting out and doing a little bit or a lot of gardening can be good for you. We'll talk more about that later. The way to contact us, at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and you can reach us on email, info@sodshow.com. With thanks to our sponsors, greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensax.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can download them into your trolley. Yeah, I said download. Let's get the party started. Sod Show for Mental Health Week 2014, and I'm talking with Paddy C. Courtney. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to The Sod Show. I think you've been on it once or twice before.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many times at this stage, but it's great to be back, as they say.
You are here in St. Patrick's Mental Health Services for Mental Health Week. You are wooed to the airwaves by a little radio station called Upbeat On Air, which I know loads about, but has nothing got to do with The Sod Show today. But I'm using the opportunity to grab you and say, well, how are you doing? What's happening? We'll get on to the allotment in Malahide in a moment, but how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Trying to keep busy. Scribbling away on a couple of scripts at the moment. Myself and Joe Rooney were in a short film last year called Lean On Me, which kind of is the focus of this Mental Health Week as well. And it's about two guys who sit in a car. Lovely short film, only 2 minutes long. You'll find it on YouTube. Just put in Lean On Me, short film. And we're developing their storylines and developing where the guys go after those 2 minutes sitting in the car. And enjoying that. Have just shot a pilot for a TV show called Jubilee Nurse. I think it might be for UTV, not 100% sure on that. It's quite a serious topic, dealing with when Spanish flu came to Ireland back in 1918, after all the boys came back from the Flanders fighting in World War One, and that was a bit of crack making it, but quite a serious subject, really, to be fair, while shooting it. So that'll be sometime next year when that comes out.
Bit of a media question, actually. I've heard once or twice this week people mention UTV, and they must be commissioning a lot of stuff because they're getting a license to broadcast television in Ireland from January 1st.
Yeah, they're kicking off. Personally, myself, I haven't been in chatting with them. I really should, because everybody else seems to be getting a gig out of it. And me sitting at home, scribbling away, writing these different scripts and all these different ideas. So, yeah, I should really go knocking on the door on UTV. And so, I'll wait till all those people put their shows out, wait till they're all crap. And then they'll come begging me for my fantastic IFTA-winning show then.
I once upon a time suggested to you, and it was a very firm suggestion, to put a Palestinian flag on the roof of your allotment. So when I was driving, I was on the top deck of a bus, was the 102 bus goes down that past the Malahide allotments, that I would know which shed was your shed in there. And you declined the offer because I don't think you were that confident a gardener at the time. Are you confident enough now to put a Palestinian flag on your roof?
What a brilliant way to get around that again. What about if I had one on my house? The only problem about identifying, see, everybody would know then that that's Paddy's Palestinian plot. And then we'll have all the refugees come over and try and live on my land there. And they're welcome, by the way. I think the only problem is that I didn't want to identify in any way, shape or form my little plot of land because I didn't want it to stand out from anybody else's. And my fear about that would be that I didn't want anybody to... sabotage whatever Brussels sprouts or broccoli I've grown so far. So I want to stay as anonymous as I possibly can, because as much as I love talking about malaria allotments and would champion the cause, I've been asked to be a patron for the allotment, because a lot of the good work and the effort goes towards awareness for the Epilepsy Care Foundation, thanks to Brian Geraghty, whose brainchild the whole thing was. And so I didn't want anybody to come up with sort of anybody that I've taken the mickey out of on stage down through the years might bear a grudge and hold it in until they come along and they say, oh, thanks to Brian, I've discovered that that's Paddy's plot there because he's flying a Palestinian flag. So let's wreck all his hard work for the last 3 years.
I didn't know until today that you're taking this quite seriously. You went to was it the GIY conference?
I did. All I did was post a few photographs, and because I was proud of the achievements I made, like little seeds turn into beetroot, which I can juice and drink or roast and eat. And so I'm bragging. Basically, I've come off stage. I used to stand on stage for 15 years bragging about how great and how funny I was. I haven't done that for the last 3 years. So what I've done through my allotment to say, look how great I am because I'm able to grow these things. I am Lord. Come follow me. And the GIY people, which is the Grow It Yourself gathering, has been running for 8 years by Mick Kelly down in Waterford. They asked me to become one of their speakers, along with people like Alice Fowler. And I took on like, oh, who am I to be able to, you know, to tell these people what I do and don't do? But to be fair, they just said, give us your experiences as a first-time allotmenteer. And I just told them stories of the good days and the bad days of being on an allotment, when you come up and you see all your seedlings have been torn apart by slugs that you just pick up and you chuck into your neighbours. No, I don't. I'm friends with my neighbours. I drown them in beer and then lash them back. To be able talk to those people, and I was interviewed by Ellen McSweeney, an old friend of mine through the horse racing world. She interviewed me, and I couldn't believe that I had so much to say about gardening, or the joy of gardening, or what it means to one's, I suppose, mental health and mind and body and soul to get out there, grow your own with the sense of achievement. Again, I come back to this sense of achievement of you growing something, planting something. It's like the sketch from the Young Ones all those years ago. We plant a seed, nature grows the seed, we eat the seed. And it is that. It's almost hippie-esque without being, I'm not far from a hippie, but it's being in touch, being grounded in that way. And that helps me and probably helps my mental health as well.
And we'll get back to that mental health stuff in a moment, but on the Sod Show we do in jokes quite a bit, and we have buzzword bingo and various things that Peter has done. But it is well known on the Sod Show that I have never seen a beetroot. So would you just, you know, verbally describe a beetroot for Brian?
All right. It would be something similar in size, it could be, to a potato, except that it would have a longer stem. It would be a potato, not quite a pear, but a potato with a smig or a goatee, a long plaited goatee. That would be the root that goes into the ground. Now, it doesn't hang out with lots of other friends' potatoes. Also, it can be wine or purple in colour. It can be white in colour as well. And not only that, if you could imagine, if you were blind, back in the day when people would cut beetroot in half, it would bleed, physically bleed, this red, viscous substance that people would use, women would use as blusher and or lipstick. And so if you're ever feeling not quite right heading out and you look in the mirror, I don't look too right, go into the shelf, take out a beetroot, cut it in half and put a bit of rouge on your cheeks and you're ready to go.
Got it, okay. It is Mental Health Week, and we are in St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, just outside the studios of Upbeat On Air. There's a link between gardening and you're getting mentally healthy and going out. How have you found it?
I would totally concur with all that, in that in my experiences, I've seen just being out in the open air, the physical work you do while working on an allotment or growing your own is basically running the oxygen through your veins, through your blood. It kind of raises the serotonin levels in your brain as well, which is kind of the nice self-made happy drug that we all have inside ourselves. So just by doing that, by being out there, and even if there is slugs killing your plants or weeds getting in the way, that's life. It's just almost an analogy for life, having a garden, having a plot of land, and being grounded, actually being in touch with the soil itself. And there is horticulture therapies that are available for those, and I think it's prescribed even on the NHS, a 6-week course in gardening. Now, years ago, to me, it used to be a chore, go out and help your dad in the garden. garden. I said, Jesus, I don't want to do that. But now I've learned a few tricks and tips from him and from my granddad that I'm bringing to bear now. Now, I thought I forgot about them with all the boozing I've done down through the years, but they've come back to me well up in the garden. So it's a muscle that I'm reusing again. And it's kind of engaged. There's different things that I would grow as well, that I have a fifth generation rose that was my great granddad's, given to my granddad, given to my dad, and now given to me. And I've taken slips of them, and they grow in the garden too. And it is, as much as I'm there on myself, for myself, on my own, I do remember my family up there because I'm looking at this rose all through the year as well. So there's the connection I have personally with my family up there whilst trying to grow on my own.
I would imagine in doing it, there's a great satisfaction, and you're involved physically and you're out in the open air and you're meeting other people, and there's all those positive benefits. But I would wonder, is there a euphoria in seeing the finished product and maybe even eating the finished product? Is it like that I made this, I grew this?
It might sound like an old cliche, and people say growing your own tastes better. And like, I swear to the baby jeebus that if you just, a tomato that you grow and compare it with something that you have in a supermarket, or a potato that was, now I did an experiment recently that I went to a friend's house, the potato was in the ground 15 minutes beforehand, and now I turned it into crisps for the kids in the house, and they couldn't believe that. So we went back up the allotment, we dug up another bunch of potatoes, which to me is like treasure. You're digging for treasure, and every time, you don't know how many potatoes are going to come out of the ground, and you stick in the fork and dig it up, and there's one, there's another one, there's another one. You're sifting through the ground for another one. There is that, using that word euphoria is totally apt in this situation here, because I find it every time I pull something out of the ground, there is that feeling of what's going to be like, what size is it going to be edible, is it going to be torn apart by pests, and then there's another euphoric sense later on when you do get home and you cook it. Well, how am I going to cook this? Am I going to slice it, crisp it? Am I going to bake it? Am I going to juice it? What way am I going to do this? And when you do it, like, yet again, I'm this idiot with the photographs, take loads of photographs of what I've grown, sown, and take it home to bake it now. And I'm sharing with all these people, and they're asking, what do you do with this? And and they're sending me pictures of different vegetables that I've never heard before or seen before. What do you do with them? If in doubt, deep fat fryer, lash it in.
Wonderful. What's next for you? Are you writing some more?
Yeah, scribbling away. I think I'm almost finished writing a play based on the experiences I've had up in the allotment, good, bad and indifferent. And it's a story I've been trying to tell for quite a few years. I didn't know the setting for it. I hadn't found it until I started working up in the allotment, and I found my situation for it, and that'll probably be next. I'd imagine first thing in the new year, I'll put on my first ever stage play.
Okay, it's World Mental Health Day today. Not necessarily connected to that, but would you have a special over the radio message to our producer, Peter Donegan?
Peter, thanks a million, first of all, for coming down to Malahide Allotments when it was just a field. I listened to your podcast recently about going back and speaking to Brian Geraghty, and just to encourage as many people as possible to get out, get an allotment if they can, and there's a lot available up at us, malahideallotments.ie.
Paddy C. Courtney, thank you very much.
Cheers, Brian.
The wonderful Paddy C. Courtney on The Sod Show. Great to catch up with him. All this week, I've been involved heavily with Upbeat On Air, 99.5 in the Dublin area on the FM band, and going around the world on upbeat.ie, streaming online. And it's covering all things to do with mental health, this week being World Mental Health Week. One of the presenters on Upbeat, the 7 to 10 p.m. show throughout the week, has been Karina Buckley. We caught up with her. This is our interview. It's Mental Health Week, as we've been telling you, and in the studio we have Karina Buckley. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Lovely to be with you.
It's strange to have you on radio. Well, it isn't, but it is, because we normally see you on the TV.
You normally do see me on the TV. I present the weather from time to time, but you'd probably hear me more often on TV than you see me, because I'm a continuity announcer also. So I introduce the programmes between the programmes on RT1.
So you're that person who comes in after Mrs. Bouquet and says, coming up after the break, we'll have another episode of Dallas.
Yeah, that'd be me. Though it's a while since we've shown Dallas, and we do drive people mad sometimes when we come straight in on the end credits after a programme, but it's all airtime, valuable airtime, Brian. So I'm sorry if it annoys you.
How long have you been presenting weather?
I have been presenting weather for longer than I care to admit, but I'll admit it to you. I started in 2000. My first weather broadcast was in July of 2000, so 14 and a half years now, almost.
And what did you do before that?
Before that, I was a student. I studied biochemistry in UCC, so I have a little bit of knowledge about your particular topic area on this programme, because as part of my studies in first year, I studied plant science. So
we were down in UCC with the botany people. So that's what you trained at?
Well, I did that in first year. I have to say I loved plant science. I had an amazing teacher. His name was Pete Jones. I don't know if you met. One of our lecturers was Pete Jones. I'm not sure if he's a professor now. But he was Mr. Genetics and Plant Genetics. And he was a very inspiring lecturer, actually. And I wanted to go along and study plant science after that, but I got talked out of it by one of my first year advisors. So in some ways, I regret not doing more plant work. But biochemistry was also very interesting, although clearly I didn't stay in that field.
And was it presenting or weather that you went after?
Well, when I was in college, also, I was part of the college radio station. UCC FM is what it's called now. Back then, it was Cork Campus Radio. And I sort of fell into that. I had friends who were part of the radio station and they were always buzzing about it. They loved it. And obviously, it was a volunteer-run thing. And they were doing an arts show and asked me if I'd join them on that. And I did, and I loved it. It's a total bug. And I just, when I was in final year in college, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next. I was considering a PhD, but I didn't really know what I wanted to specialise in particularly. So I saw this job advertised in the careers office where RTE were looking for science graduates to work as weather presenters. And my first thought was, what self-respecting scientist would put another scientist out of a job? But then I thought, well, look, if I don't apply for it, somebody else is going to, so I may as well throw my hat in the ring, because I thought it was a nice way of combining my interest in science but also my interest in broadcasting. And I applied for the job and jumped through all the hoops and eventually started working RTE in early 2000.
14 years later, you're a very recognisable TV weather person. And do people therefore stop you and want to discuss the weather?
It's funny, I don't think people really recognise me out and about a lot of the time.
The disguise,
yeah. I go around incognito. If I have my hair curly, which it is naturally, and I wear it straight on telly, because of the chroma key, otherwise the screen goes very fuzzy. So I can go out in public oftentimes with my curly hair and maybe my glasses on, and I can, you know, not to say that people would know me anyway if they saw me, but I get to fly under the radar. But those people who do know me, when they see me, they are always eager to talk about the weather. And it's perfectly natural, because I think Irish people are particularly interested in the weather. I think we're very connected to it.
What's the top thing that people want to know about the weather from a weather presenter?
Well, I think it's funny that the top thing they probably say to me is, oh, what's the weather going to be like? That's the first thing I always hear. And then they might say, oh, it rained this morning where I was. You didn't tell me that was going to happen. So that's another one. You get in trouble for giving the wrong forecast. But in terms of what people want to know about the weather, usually it's something that I can't possibly tell them. Like, are we going to have a hard winter, or are we going to have a good summer? Because long-range forecasting, it's a pretty inexact science at the moment, although it is in development, though some of my colleagues from MedEireann would probably say we'll never really be able to manage it for Ireland, because, you know, we're a small island on the edge of the Atlantic on a globe that's spinning not entirely on a vertical axis. So it's very hard to predict it's very hard to predict with any degree of accuracy what the long range forecast for Ireland would be, or seasonal forecasts would be. So I think that's probably the number one thing people want to know about the weather.
Something that's always been in the back of my head about weather, and I'm a geek about weather, met weather for pilots, I read, and look at the rain radar very closely. And I kind of grew up reading as a young teenager Brendan McWilliams in the Irish Times. If the weather forecast on the TV every day was to teach us about isobars and millibars and cyclonic and veering and backing and all these kind of things, rather than just say what the weather's going to be like tomorrow, the nation would be very learned in weather. So do you think you know, is that ever going to happen? I suppose it's not, but I just thought that if we've all watched so many hours or days or years of weather over the years, that we'd all know a lot if we weren't just told what it's going to be like tomorrow.
I know, and I agree. And I don't know if you've watched my colleague, Evelyn Cusack. Well, she works for Medair and I work for RTE, but she has a real kind of mission like that to try and bring the science of meteorology to her viewers. So a lot of her weather forecasts will contain some kind of information like blocking highs, or she'll give an explanation of why the weather is how it is. And I think in an ideal world, like Evan has over 30 years experience as a weather forecaster and almost as many years on television as a weather broadcaster, so she does have it down in many ways to a fine art. So those of us who are less experienced, probably, you know, you're working to the clock. You know, you are a slave to time when you're on television. So you're just thinking, I need to get the information out and I need to be finished in time. So you tend not to risk bringing the background into it. You know what people want to know and you tell them what they want to know. But I completely agree with you. I think a number of people have contacted me to say that they'd love to have a weekly weather programme on television, explaining pressure, temperature, winds, why we describe things the way we describe them, how global warming, climate change, I should say, is going to affect us. Is it a real phenomenon? All of these issues, you know, like I do agree with you. I think the public would be a lot more educated and they'd want to be. It's, you know, the weather is the highest rating programme every day on television. You know, it's like the viewing figures actually rise after the news.
More power to Avonmore, I think. This week, you have been pursuing the radio for Upbeat because it is Mental Health Week, and today is Mental Health Day worldwide. Weather and mental health, there is a connection.
Well, we had a look into that, actually. A couple of my colleagues very kindly did some research for us. We found that weather does affect people's mood, but only if they're already
susceptible.
Yeah, if they're already in a bad mood and it's a bad day, it'll make them feel worse. But if they're in a good mood and it's a bad day, it won't have any effect. And if the sun comes out, they think, great, it's sunny, we have a bit of sunshine. In terms of how it impacts it, like in extremes of weather, obviously that will have an impact. When, you know, you have catastrophic situations, it's weather situations, and people will be affected by those, obviously, and it's usually in the aftermath. It's usually when they're trying to pick their lives back up and put them back together. In terms of climate, actually, we found that people who live in temperate climates like ours self-report to be happier. So they actually, if you ask people around Ireland, and we often will find that in Ireland, you'll regularly see surveys from people saying that, surveys come out that the Irish are among the happiest people in the world. So, you know, even though we like to bitch and moan about the weather, even though we like to complain about the weather, it doesn't really affect our happiness. Now, SAD, seasonal affective disorder, is a condition, but shouldn't be one that really impacts on us at our latitude here in Ireland. Now, the thing is, to make sure that doesn't happen, you have to make sure you get out in the daylight. And Evelyn Cusack actually came across a very interesting phenomenon. She didn't speak about it on air because she didn't have enough evidence to back it up. But she found suggestions that blue light is actually better for us and makes us feel better than different coloured lights at different points in the spectrum. So that blue light you get in the morning time. So maybe not at dawn, because there's a lot of red light, a lot of dispersed light, the blue light is more scattered. But in the morning, like between about 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, if you can get out in that light, it will actually improve your mood. There is evidence to suggest that weather here in Ireland does impact on our mood, but we can do a lot to help ourselves.
Brilliant. And final question. You said you did the botany and the plant science in Cork. Have you a plant tip for us? We're horticultural and planting and gardening here on the Sod Show. So what's your plant tip?
Now, I don't remember a whole lot from my plant science days, but one thing I do remember is about plant hormones. Now, I know you have, I can't remember what the one that helps plants to grow upwards is, but the ones that, the one that bulks them out are the auxins. And apparently, if you want to get your shrub to become bushier, when you cut off the top of the plant, what will happen is the branches will grow more fully. It's like the nourishment is going to the leaves and branches, so therefore they're more like they will actually grow more, and you'll get a fuller looking plant or shrub. It works obviously best with shrubs. And the other thing I remember is that holly, if you have holly that's not producing berries coming up to Christmas, it might be something you're considering bringing inside.
You said the C word.
I did. I can't believe it. Apparently it's only 10 weeks to Christmas. Anyway, the holly bush developed its prickles and its berries, because the berries are poisonous, and it was to keep away animal predators, right? So it was, the idea was that if, you know, cows or any sort of quadruped was trying to feed on it, it didn't want that. It wanted to survive. So it evolved the prickles, so you get spiky holly, and it evolved the poisonous red berries, so that when the mammals or birds or whatever would try to eat it, they wouldn't want it anymore. For the same reason that apple seeds have cyanide in them, they're to put birds off. So that would be my tip, my two tips. So if you want your shrubs to grow bushier, cut off the tops of them. And if you want some berries and some prickle on your holly bush, agitate it a bit with a fork or, you know, whatever. Just agitate it, and it'll kick into its evolutionary responses and give you some berries.
And the radio equivalent of agitated was you were kind of doing the shake and vac kind of movement. Karina Buckley, many thanks for coming on The Sod Show.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
The wonderful Karina Buckley on 103.2 Dublin City FM. This has been The Sod Show. It's time to go time. Thanks for listening. We're back next Friday at 3 p.m. If you want to get in touch, at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, info@sodshow.com on the email, and the blog is there, sodshow.com/news for all the news items. Katrina keeping that up to date. Get in touch with our producer, Peter Donegan, through the aforementioned contact ways. And if you have any items for The Sod Show, we'd love to hear about them. We're also going to shout out to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for the home, for the garden. Check them out in the supermarket, where you can download them into your trolley. On the internet, they're available at greensacks.ie. Thanks for supporting us through the years, lads. This is Dublin City FM. We're back next Friday at 3. Take care. Bye-bye.